Marianne, I'm an alcoholic. Hi. I'm so grateful to be here sober today and to see all of you. And this is just an awesome event. And I've been to several women's conferences, and it never ceases to just strike me at my core. I was walking over here from my hotel yesterday morning, and I had one of those little liquid moments. I mean, it's so amazing to think that a person like me survived to be part of a fellowship like this, and that my higher power really wants me to be here with you all. I'd like to just digress for just a second. How many women are here for their first women's conference? Oh, man. Awesome. It's an awesome event. My first one was in 1987, and the woman that introduced me to the concept of even going told me that it would be an unforgettable experience and probably one that I would need to repeat over and over again. You know how we're like that? You know, you try it once and you got to keep doing it. So welcome. I hope you keep coming back. This, of course, is the panel on using the steps in our relationship. And so we have three speakers. And what we'll do is we'll have, after the introduction and a little reading, we will have the three speakers 10 minutes each. And this part section of it will all be taped. And then after that period of time, then the mics are turned off just because of taping technicalities. And there will be the rest of the time we'll use for questions and answers and discussion or whatever from the floor. It's going to be a great group this morning. I can feel it already. So that's what we're talking about, using the steps in our relationships. And it's such a great deal to be able to do that in our lives. We don't have to keep looking around for a bunch of other answers anymore. I was always looking for some solution to my problem for many, many years, and I didn't have any clue that the answer would be in a place like this with people like you that I didn't think that I had anything to do with when I was out there drinking. So I'd like to introduce the first speaker, and we had a great conversation on the phone. Shauna lives right here in Georgia and up a little farther north in a little place called Sugar Hill. So, Shauna.
Good morning. My name is Shauna, and I'm an alcoholic. It is such an honor to be asked to participate in any meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, but it's really an honor to be here this morning. And I'm so nervous, and I was praying about what I would talk about, and the thing that came into my mind is, how can I talk about God's work in just 10 minutes? And I think about the woman that I used to be and the woman that I am today, and it's incredible. I didn't get here from there. God has done a wonderful work through Alcoholics Anonymous in my life, and I hope that you will hear something that you can take with you today that will help you. And my sobriety date is June 10th, 1995, and my sponsor is Mary Ellen, and she couldn't be here this morning, but she sends her love. And the thing that I wanted to share with the most is that what I used to be like in relationships, I was the usual, the fearful, isolated. I never had any close friends, and in my family, I was isolated. Bless you. And I didn't have any connectedness with women, particularly. And my mother and I did not get along at all. We were always at odds, and I lived in a fantasy type world. And what alcohol did for me was it allowed me to come out of that shell and to have what I thought was relationships. Finally, I became a cheerleader, and I was had lots of girlfriends, and I thought I was Miss Popular, and what I wanted to be was perfect. And on the outside, I did look perfect. And I had that cheerleader by day, whore by night kind of thing going on. I'm originally from Denver, and at night I used to wear, like black leather. I had the long shag look, but in the day I was in my little Hume Woods uniform, and I was the mom and everything, and it was quite a drastic personality change that I undertook when I drank. And when I moved out here, I went through yet another change, and I became a pixie cut, drink margaritas on the deck person. And I thought Georgia was great, and it was a total different way of drinking. But in the end, I was in the park drinking on the park bench out of my car, just the same as I had done in Denver. And I had no friends. If I wasn't drinking with you or sleeping with you, I didn't have a relationship with you. And so when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous this last time, I was determined that I wasn't going to have any relationship. I was just going to get sober. And I would sit in meetings, and I would hear about how you got your husband back or your girlfriend back or your wife back and your children back, and I would just be miserable because I didn't think I was ever going to make it. My motto was that I wasn't going to make it. And I don't know how I made it. I just hung in there, and I did what I was told, and I showed up. And I got involved with a women's step study that was very structured and gave me a lot of direction in the steps. And that's when my sobriety really took off, was when I hooked up with my sponsor, and I fell in love with her, but I wasn't going to ask her to be my sponsor because I was scared of her. And I thought she would reject me, and if she rejected me, then I wouldn't be able to come to this group of women anymore. And I knew if I didn't stay with that group of women, I wouldn't get it. I'd get drunk again. And she just came and sat by me one day, and she said, you know, just come walk with me. And we've been walking together for 4 years. And so anytime you see someone struggling, don't wait for them to ask. Just grab them and take them along with you. And during my time working the step that came to my mind the most and is in my heart is step 7 in relationships. Because I had that perfect ideal, and I couldn't see my character defects. It was blocking me from God, and I always kept God at a distance, and my sponsor has really pounded into me that the answer to all my problems is always still more spiritual growth, always. And I never understood what she meant, you know. And I try it my way, and I try really hard in relationships, and it's only been in the last year that I have a girlfriend that I can call and talk to and hang out with, and it's been such a blessing. I got married 2.5 years ago, and we only just stopped fighting last February. my sister and I just stopped, we weren't fighting, but we just didn't connect, and we only just connected maybe 2 months ago, and she's still out there running and in Denver and Mexico. And, you know, and my mother is here with me, and she has 15 years of sobriety. And, you know, we are staying in the same room, and nobody else is in our room. and a year ago, I was having a heart attack at doing that, and I wasn't real willing to do that. And it's amazing how God has worked in my life in this last year. And there's a lot that I could read to you, you know, from step 7 that describes me, the demanding, unreasonable demands, the dependence, all that stuff I have had to work through in step 7. And but I didn't want to be teaching up here. I wanted to share my experience because what I have today, and all that time that I was struggling and thinking that I was never going to make it, all these miracles were taking place in my life. And one time I came home from a women's recovery workshop, and my little boy said, "Mommy, how come you have to go spend time with those women? Why don't you stay home with me, you know?" And I told him that it was with you that you were teaching me how to be a mom. And now he sends me off, you know. he loves it because he's starting to get it, and he knows that it's here with you all that I'm learning how to be a mother, and I'm learning how to be a daughter, and I'm learning how to be a wife, and my everyone has gotten better in my life because I stopped looking at them and I started looking at me, and it started for me in step 7. I didn't really get it in step 4 and 5 and stuff. I was just so delusioned that it wasn't my fault and it was because of what was done to me that I was the way that I was. And if all those things hadn't happened, I wouldn't have drank, I wouldn't be here. But that's not true. I know that it's within my character. And given the choice, I've always chosen comfort over character building, always. always. So for me to choose character building and to be standing before you and say that I'm not divorced today, that I'm not a single mom today, that a man hasn't found it necessary to hit me in 5 or 6 years, you know, not that I would ever condone that, but I certainly had a big part in it. And, you know, I think about the woman that I used to be and who I am today, and I don't want to give you the idea that my life is perfect, and the thing that has really played a big part of my life is page 70 from the Big Book, and it says that, "Suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble, does this mean that we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half-truth. It depends on us and on our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe that we will be forgiven and we will have learned our lesson. If we are not sorry and our conduct continues to harm others, then we are quite sure to drink. We are not theorizing. These are the facts of our experience. And my sponsor pointed that out to me only after I became sorry and I became willing to change my behavior. And I didn't leave that marriage. And I had done things that I don't deserve to be standing here. Things that I almost lost my sponsor for. Things that I almost got drunk for. And I think about all that I would have given up, the miracles. We're having a baby in September, and I wouldn't have had that chance. I would have given it up. I would have passed it by because I wasn't getting what I thought I wanted. I was taking the easy fix, the easy way out. And the next thing to that easy way out was a drink. And I know today that if I drink, I'll die. And I know that that is the same experience for all of us, but we seek in our relationships and other people to get what that drink got us. I do, anyway. And luckily, this time it didn't work. I didn't get that fixed. And my sponsor had me work step 7. And what worked for me was a relationship with God and a relationship with my sponsor, that she didn't leave me, that y'all didn't leave me. And I am closer to my God today. And I don't know if that can work. And I didn't even look at the clock, but I'm so honored to be here. And that is the experience that I really wanted to share with you, is that for me and all my relationships have gotten better when I got closer to my God. Thank you.
All right, she's great, huh? Our next speaker is Jerry. She's from Lebanon, Tennessee.
Let me hug this microphone here. My name is Jerry, and I'm an alcoholic. And I haven't found it necessary to take a nip, a dip, a sip, or a trip. Since January 6, 1964. Whenever I say that, there are people who say, I wasn't even born then. I wasn't born then either. That's my birth date. But, you know, relationships and the steps. By the way, let me put a commercial in. I have a good friend, Donna, and she is going to be doing a workshop right here tomorrow on relationships, working the traditions on them. And it's an awesome, it takes about an hour and a half for her to give it. But I've heard it like 3 times, and every time I hear it, I learn something different. If anybody wants a different slant, come tomorrow morning. My own personal relationships, I have messed them up 16 different ways. Thank God for sponsors. You know, we can't sponsor ourselves. My sponsor is Lisa C. She has 11 years sobriety. It's not the amount of time somebody has, it's the quality. And are they honest with you? And she, you know, I run pell-mell into a brick wall, and I call her up, and she said, well, have you worked the first 3 steps on it? And I said, I'm going to hang up on you. It's so simple. You know, the program is so simple. Absolutely. I have a girl that I'm sponsoring now, named Lynn. And she has asked me to ask all of you to pray for her. She and her husband are in the program, and he has wandered adrift, and they're thinking about breaking up, but they're hoping it'll work. And she asked me, she said I could use her as an example of both of them were in the program, and he stopped working the program. He fired his sponsor, and you know, he went off as only alcoholics can do, crazy. She called me up Sunday, and she said, he's crazy, I'm crazy, what can I do? And I said, get your big book out and turn to How It Works. And work the first 3 steps. And she said, should I do anything else? And I said, no. Nope. Number one, number two, number three. I said, then you can get on into other things later and into it later on. The rest of the program later on. These steps work on anything. They're God-given. God gives us the nicest things. Absolutely. The nicest things. I'm laughing because God just gave me the nicest thing. Let me tell you about it. I'm just tickled at death with God. We have a Sermon on the Mount work study group with about 12 women, and we've got a strong women's group. My home group is Mount Juliet Group, Fellowship Group in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, which is the next town over. You know, you don't know that you're in the next town over, but you are, you know. And we have about 12 women that it's not an AA meeting because we're studying non-AA things, but they wanted to study the Sermon on the Mount. Well, it got to the point where it said, you don't have what you need because, you know, you don't tell God of your needs. And being big of mouth and weak of brain, I spoke up and I said, God, you know I need Alexis. The girl that was running it said, Jerry, you're not supposed to pray for things like that, only spiritual things. And I said, I can get awful spiritual in Alexis. And God knows my car is 10 years old and got 238,000 miles in it, and it's a little sports car, and I can barely get in and out of it. I said, God knows I need Alexis. So this was Wednesday night. The next Tuesday, I got my bank statement. And the United States government, Social Security Office, had put $10,538 in my account. I went by the next morning and said, did you make a mistake or can I keep it? And they did their magic with the computer, and they said, oh no, your husband died 2 years ago, your former husband died 2 years ago, his present wife, when he died, applied for winner's benefits, but they hadn't been married long enough, so you got them. And we'll be putting another $500 a month into your account. So I said right out loud, that looks like Alexis to me. I went out and bought a Lexus. My payments are $493 a month. But that's the kind of crazy things that God does for you in this crazy, crazy program that we're in. Now, the hardest relationship I ever had to work But this program was with my mother. My mother and I never really got it on, ever. You know, when I called her up from the hospital and said, you know, I tried to commit suicide, and I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict and this, that, and the other, and I barely didn't live and everything, and I'm going to AA, her response was, well, some of the nicest people in Atlanta go to AA. That was what was concerned her, was my image, because it reflected upon her. And you know, it was the hardest thing in the world through the years to forgive her and to work the program around her and to forgive myself for what I thought about her and to work myself around the program. See, this is the whole thing. The program works within you. And it's a constant thing. It's an absolute constant thing. But the guarantee with every relationship, if you work it with the program, and if you stay close to the program, I think in the South they give out chips. I got sober in New Jersey. They didn't give out chips. I didn't get my first chip until I'd been sober like 15 years. So they give out poker chips. Anybody around here, do they give out poker chips most places?
Yeah.
You know, poker chip has the rough on the edge and the smooth in the middle. And if you stay in the middle of that, you got smooth sailing. But if you're out of the edge, it's rough. And it gets rougher. And I have, in my 36 years, fired my sponsor. Stepped away from the steps. And stepped into absolute mucky misery. But thank God I didn't get drunk. But I could have. It could have been the end of me. And I have found that, you know, with every relationship, not just your husband, I never was able to make it. I've tried and tried and tried with my husband. He didn't have a problem. He just drank. He didn't have a problem, man. He wasn't an alcoholic like I was.
Time. 2 minutes.
Okay. You see, that's what it's hard to shut me up. But with every relationship, whether it's your mother or your daughter or your friend or your sponsor. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But one of the hardest things to work this program on is your sponsor. Because your sponsor is telling you things that you do not want to know. Or she's telling you things that you already know that you don't want to do. And if you can say, you know, I'm going to turn this situation over to God. I can't do it. Maybe he can. Let him do it. If you can take the first three steps on your sponsor, you'll be out front. Thank you very much.
Great job. I think I'm more powerless over the relationships in my life than I was 15 minutes ago. Half an hour ago. I don't know about you. My daughter, my husband, and my grandkids, and my cat. And Whoa. Our last speaker is Lou G. from New Hampshire.
Good morning. My name is Lou. I'm an alcoholic. And I was thinking of relationships. First, I have to tell you, my name is Lucille Matilda Marguerite Marie Chapdelaine Laughlin Billiard Gifford. And all of that was before I got sober. I was fortunate enough to celebrate my 27th anniversary last February and have not been married since I've been in the fellowship. So, and the reason I had all these relationships or these marriages prior to getting sober was I was raised Catholic. You don't do it without getting married, and it didn't really matter to me anyway, but I so desperately wanted to belong that I went with anybody that asked me to go. Whether you abused me, were kind to me, or let me control you, I went with anyone because I wanted to be with someone. And I came to the halls of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I learned I was an alcoholic, and for the first time in my life, I had identity. And when I came to my first AA meeting, well, it was a little later than that because I went back out and drank, but the AA police came to my house, and one of them was a dentist that I had known from the area, and he kept bringing me to AA meetings, and I kept praying for him to die. And I must have told him 1,000 times, is this all there is in this world? And there was an expletive before that. Is AA, and he says, shut up, we're going to a meeting. And I must have told him 1,000,000 times, I will never, as long as I live, ever get in a relationship with another human being. First of all, I was scared. If any of you knew me, you wouldn't like me. And I had been hurt so many times. This wasn't going to happen again. And one night he took me to a meeting and he said, I'm not 12-stepping you, I'm dating you. I thought, wow, is this nice? And I did spend the next 21 and a half years with this man. Through him and with him, I learned a lot about giving, but the most important thing that I learned in these halls was I had to learn to love myself before I could love other people. And I had no family whatsoever. My family disowned me. My oldest daughter ran away when I drank again. I didn't see or hear from her for 9.5 years. And she wrote me a letter one day. And she told me, Ma, I don't really think you meant to hurt us. And there wasn't one morning when I drank that I got up. And I said, today I'm going to hurt everyone I love. But because, or everyone I'm with, I didn't love. I didn't know what it was. And she lives in the Catskills in New York. And she called me and she asked me if I would give her away. And I said I'd be delighted. And I hung up, and I thought, thank you, God. And I had to stop and think of how many things have happened in my life because I was willing to work on steps 1, 2, and 3, and 7, is knowing when I had character defects that only I could make the changes in my life. I can't change anybody I associate with. Sometimes I'm with people, and I pray that they ask God for guidance because I can't change them. And I certainly don't have to be with people that I can't be comfortable with today. I have a son that I haven't seen. Well, I saw him in the grocery store about a month ago, and he walked right by me, and I wanted to chase him down, throw him on the ground, and smash him. And he has a problem with alcohol and drugs. I pray for him every day. And I think of that at times, and it really, really bothers me because I robbed them of a childhood. But I'm a good grandmother today. I have a 3-year-old grandson that asked me what I used to look like before I got old. And you know, and I can laugh at that today, and I'm a good grandmother today. He loves me to go up there because I give him everything he wants, and we go. But I can do the things today that I couldn't do when I drank, because alcohol robbed me of that. Alcohol robbed me of everything. I have lived a life in the past 27 years that is unbelievable. I've been involved in service in Alcoholics Anonymous almost since I started. I served as delegate to the state of New Hampshire on panel 38, which was about 12 years ago. And that was a journey that you can't explain to other people. And the only reason that worked is because when I came to these halls, You people told me I could make coffee. My parents never encouraged me to do anything, never told me I could do anything. I knew all I couldn't do, but I didn't know what I could do or got encouraged to do it. And you people told me I could do that. And then you told me I could be a secretary, and I said, I can't talk in front of people, and you told me to read it. So I would write my report, and I would read it. And you people believed in me, which allowed me to believe in me. And through that, I graduated from college. I was the only grandmother in my class. And when I graduated from high school, I was the baby in my class. So I've gone from one extreme to another. But it's in here and talking to a sponsor. My sponsor now lives in Arizona, and we email each other. I think that's the greatest invention there ever was this computer. And we email one another. And I'll write something to her, and she'll say, well, you know, how would you feel if one of your sponsors told you that? And I thought, well, certainly not the way I feel. You know. And so a lot of answers I can find within myself. I have girlfriends today. I never had girlfriends. Today I'm rooming with my friend from New Hampshire who lives in Florida in the winter. But 2 weeks ago, she celebrated her 10th anniversary, and I was able to go to Florida to give her her medallion. And that, to me, meant so much. And there was no way I wasn't going to go, because I work for a hospital that closed last week, and it certainly wasn't nice. And for the first time in my life, I'm not working. And my biggest dilemma is, what am I going to wear? Yeah. Because I have no hanging around clothes. And I knew if I wore my jeans before I came here, I'd have to wash them again before I got here. So, you know, last week was a terror. But I do know that today I can tell you exactly how I feel. I couldn't do that. It was very important for me to save face, pretend I was something I wasn't. One day I could be a streetwalker, and the other day I could be Diana. You know, I would go from one extreme to another, depended which way my hair went. Today, it doesn't really matter. I have friends. I can tell you how I feel. You accept me the way I am. You like me. You encourage me. And, you know, being here is very important to me, because I'm sharing with other women, and I hear how you feel, and it's exactly how I feel. And I know if I use step one, is, you know, I'm powerless over alcohol. I am also powerless over people, places, and things. You know, and I asked God this morning to please let me get up here and say something that will mean something to me and probably help someone else that felt like I felt when I came through these halls. And then I'm going to do God's will for me. And God's will for me is being comfortable inside myself. When I'm not comfortable inside, I'm doing my own thing. And then to recognize my own deficiencies and make changes wherever they're possible. And I expect on having a great weekend, so thank you for listening.